Just calling it a letter for us, my message. Just a letter for us. And I often think that each one of us can, if we must today come and write a letter for yourself, and just say, Yaku, you must not get angry so quickly when the children is out of hand. You'll always know what to write. Because it's just you know what you will tell yourself. Right now, there's always a few things that stand out. But it's not always the right things. Because sometimes we're very harsh on ourselves. And this morning, I'm just going to quickly share something about a letter for us. Also a letter that I think is just what, if we must receive a letter for our church, there's a few short points. What I think is just on God's heart for us as Shofar Century City. But before I get there, my dad still writes a letter to his brother, a normal letter, every Sunday. So this post office strike was really bad for him, because every week then he'll receive the letter back from Oom Dani. And Oom Dani is in the R, and he writes, the weather is great, Marguerite is still playing bowls, she's doing really well. It's the same thing, but there's communication, there's relationship, it's lovely. And it's going on for years and years, I think, since I can remember, they are writing letters to one another. Just a personal letter, him and his brother. And it's still going on. He's probably writing as we speak right now. And I was thinking, if Jesus must write a letter for each one of us, just now, a personal note. He's probably just going to say, follow me. Just follow me. Because we try to add so many things onto that. And when Jesus, I just remember in the Bible, as he walked on next to the Sea of Galilee, and he saw the disciples, and he said, follow me, follow me. And we say, Lord, but I want to follow you, but I want to do this and this. I still want to do this thing. I just want to sort this out. And Jesus is saying, follow me. So if you don't remember anything else, just follow Jesus. Because that's what I think is, if there must be a short letter, something just on God's heart, and coming from place of unconditional love, a place of He wants to give us the best, He wants the best for us, He wants us to make it in life, whatever that means for us, He'll say, follow me. Follow me. Because I'll show you the way. And then I was reading up a bit of Paul, and as he written all these letters to the different churches. And luckily for us, it's all compiled in the Bible. We've got it. We've got all those letters that's been written throughout the years. And you know, the Bible is still real and relevant to us today. There's a 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 said, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. But then in 2 Timothy 3 verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture. The scripture is what's equipping us. And that's what we want to be. We want to be ready for every good work. We want to be ready for whatever God brings to us. And that's in the Word. I still remember at Stellenbosch, I had to make a few big decisions. Not which wife, which woman I'm going to marry. Not for that one. That was also very big. But it was just in terms of what I'm going to study and things. And I remember evenings where I took the Word, I couldn't decide. So I just took the Bible. I just walking through the streets of Stellenbosch, just reading. Just reading, reading, reading. Until something dropped. Something just, I just knew, this is it. This is what God wants me to do. And that was just a practical way for me, how the Word guided me. I remember difficult times where, one time, that was when we were engaged, suddenly Lee let me know, she probably don't even know about this anymore. But she told me, Yaku, I'm not so sure about our relationship. I thought, man, this is the end of the world. Because we, right, I can't remember if we were engaged at that time or I was about to get engaged. And now she says she's not sure about all of this. For a man, that's quite tough. So you go back to the Word. You phone your pastor. You phone your friend. You phone every guy that has prayed with you up to that time. And you take time out and you pray. And I ask God, God, what is going on in this situation? This is really close to my heart. I want to know what is going on. God showed me. I had an idea why she feels in that way. And I prayed specifically into that situation. And a week later, everything just turned. I wasn't even sure what happened. And so when she come, it's fine. And I said, great. Then you don't ask any more questions. You don't have to know what happened. You just know God did something. So that was for me, that was very close to my heart. Something real. And that is for me when my relationship with God, it's very real. It is alive. It is not something where I come on a Sunday and we sing songs and we go home and we live life. That is, everything is in it's part of it. God is real. He's here right now. He's speaking to us. And we're hearing God's voice right now. We had children's church training last Tuesday at our home. And Alida, she's one of the pastors at Stellenbosch. She came through and she said, even in children's church, they don't say, okay, we're going to do something and Jesus is going to talk to us. And if you hear something of Jesus, you can share it with the other children. They just say, what did Jesus tell you? And the little children, then they start sharing what they feel Jesus is telling them. Because Jesus is speaking all the time. God is speaking to us. He said, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. And that is so encouraging, so just that makes me safe to know that God is speaking to me. I don't always listen, but it's there. It will be better if I listen. I know that because it's better for my children when they listen to me. And I'm just a normal guy. How much more God? That always gives us His perfect will, perfect plan, perfect direction for our lives. And that is what God is here for us. And also last while, just going through some difficult times. Sometimes you don't understand what's going on at home. Children are difficult. And they say, then Lee and I, we must talk. We say, Samuel is just difficult. And then it's Gustav. And now we're thinking, or we're praying about their temperaments, because they're so different. One is more introvert, the other one is extrovert. And there's different ways to just to connect with them, different ways just to speak with them, to discipline them. Different things, it just works better. So much more God when He speaks to each one of us. He knows how to speak, when to speak, and how to convey a message that we will hear and know that this is God speaking. He will know. I know with my children. I've got a very good idea how to. Only Lucy is a bit wild still. But the other two boys, I know how to just to get through to them. And Samuel's hamster died in the week. And it was for him. He's the introvert. You don't always know what he's thinking. There's a lot of emotions. It's intense. And then he made a grave for the hamster. And he put the flowers on. It was actually a very special moment. And the little tears just flowing down his cheeks, running down his cheeks. And I realized for him, it is so intense. And then Gustav ran inside and he started drawing a picture. And he said, we were all sitting there, the whole family. And Gustav said, guys, just wait 2 minutes. I'm back just now. This now our seven-year-old. And he ran inside and he drew a picture of Hammy. Hammy was the hamster. Samuel gave that name on his birthday. So Gustav drew the picture of the flowers and everything. and the sand, and then the hole that we made in Hammy in the hole. And the whole thing, and it was so special. He just realized that this is what, it will help Samuel. So he came back with this picture. And he gave it to Samuel. Samuel put it on his cupboard, and you know, he just every now and then he just look at this picture. And this picture is just, it's helping him through this thing. Because he experienced now a little bit, it's very sad for him, and but it also, we can use it for long-term parenting. Use the situation. But for me it was so special. Gustav just saw what's happening, ran inside, drew a picture. So much more God. That's a 7-year-old giving something to a 5-year-old. God is just beyond it all. So you must be ready to hear from the Lord. God is speaking. He's giving us letters. He gave us the word. And I realize also that the joy that we have is sometimes so dependent on our circumstances. So we start out, it's a great day, say, lovey, we're going to do it, great day, pray together, you go, and then you get a flat tire. And then that whole day is finished. If you see people, I don't want to talk to you, it's not great, things are not working out, suddenly everything is just bad. And I realized that that's not right. I'm not getting it right. Let me just. I'm just thinking about this thing. Things that can so quickly just derail how I feel about the day or my motivation for doing something, where circumstances just come. And in that storm, things are just, it just gets out of hand. How I react to people. And I realized that God is not saying we won't go through storms. He's saying that He will be with us in the storm. And He is with us in the storm. He's right there with us. And somehow we must understand that. For me, I must get a revelation of that. That to know, even in the tough times, even when things are not going well, that God is right there with me. And then it makes sense. My joy comes from the Lord. Somehow you can get joy and strength from God, knowing that He's with us. Right there. There's a couple of guys in the Bible. We know Joseph that was sold as a slave to Egypt. Job. There's just suddenly so many things that went wrong in his life, and he had all these questions to God, and he's say, Lord, why this, why that, why that? And then Israel coming out of Egypt thought, okay, it's gonna be great. Now they're in the desert and there's no more cupcakes. There's just things flying around and manna, and everything is different. And suddenly they think, well, is this right? Are we still on the right track with the Lord? Are we still in God's plan for our lives? What's happening here? And they were right there in the center of God's will. So many examples. But just quickly, I wrote down a few things when I prepared. Just what I thought is maybe reasons why we're not hearing God's voice, why we're not getting that letter. Because maybe He's not saying what we want to hear. I remember, okay, it's for me easy to think about finding a wife, because that was it was quite in my mind, distraction. But that was at some stage, it was a real distraction. And I was praying a lot for my wife, and then if God was telling me a lot of other things, I probably missed a lot of stuff. Until I realized one day, I'm just going to do what I feel God is telling me to do. And for 6 months, I just did that. I made an effort. Trying to, okay, Lord, this is what You're telling me. I'm doing it. And I was still doing internship at the Shofar Church in Stellenbosch. So I always joked that I'm just packing my speakers, and I'm just doing my sound, and that's it. Because this is what God told me to do. And I do it to the best of my abilities. And then suddenly the wife came along. And things just start falling in place. When I just start to get rid of all the distractions and all the stuff. And just actually listening to what God is telling me. Sometimes there's just sin in our lives. Sin will always bring separation between us and God. That's it. God is a holy God. He's a holy God. God is not intimidated by our sin, but it will influence us. I just want to mention it. Sometimes we feel God is silent and we're not hearing God, but we also just go on and do whatever we want to do. It's definitely an influence. And it might be that that God is speaking, but maybe something has silenced our hearing. And for me, this is sometimes it's distraction, sometimes it's Facebook, sometimes it's WhatsApp. Things at times that we were meditating, maybe you had a walk with God, or just a walk. You were walking early in the morning, now there's no time for that walk again. No time to get silent, to slow down a bit. And for me, that's very practical. I know God speaks to me when I'm in the mountains or just on my own, taking time out, no distractions. Then it's for me, it's a way that God speaks, or it's easier for me to hear God's voice in those circumstances. But also know if I don't do it, then for me it's just real. I don't hear as much. So it's a practical thing. So there will be practical things for you as well. You will know, wow, last time I was there, I just got this thought. I tested it. It was really God spoke to me. You see it happening and you just know that's God. So that is an indication of something that can help us to hear God's voice. And sometimes we know what God is saying, but we don't like it. We don't want to hear it. And then we just go on and on, say, no, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And God is actually speaking. He is actually saying something, but we don't want to hear that. We want something else. Again, with my children, I see it all the time. They want to do something, I tell them something different. So they go on and on and on until they say, this is manipulation. Manipulation doesn't work in our house. They know that word and they can identify. They say, yes, Daddy. And sometimes we hear something and there's a step of faith that we need to take, but we want another word. You want another thing. You want three more confirmations. And I'm not saying it won't come. I'm just saying that there's a place where we take a step of faith. The Bible says, one prayer in Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please God. I'm just saying it when we take a step of faith, saying, God, I trust in you. That's why I'm moving. That's pleasing to God. I made many mistakes in my life, but I know that of many times where I had a conviction, I prayed about things, I tested with friends, and I say, okay, right, I'm moving. And I say, Lord, I believe this is what you're telling me to do, so I move. And I think that was pleasing to God. I must just be prepared to say when I made a mistake as well. Because sometimes we don't like to say that. And say, oh, I heard from God. And then you realize maybe it wasn't the Lord speaking. And say, okay, I made a mistake. But when my children come to me and say, Daddy, I trust in you. I'm going to jump. You better catch me. I like that. And I say, jump. Let's do it. We're going somewhere. There's a trust there. There's a relationship. And I really want to encourage you. Sometimes you will hear things from God. He's going to speak to us. And we need to just go out. Take that step of faith. That's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to the Lord. What is carrying me through life is that God is a good God, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We learn about God's character in the Word. We learn to know God through testimonies, through experiences of life, through what we see. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's probably the only constant in life. But we also know just a little. we just discover more and more and more about God. We can't put him in a box and say, okay, I figured him out. Now I can use it. So that's exciting. And God is a good God. There's many things that I don't ask questions about because I trust God and I say, Lord, you are good. I don't understand this, but you are good. So we're going. You're good. So just quickly, a few things that I think just for us as a church here, we've seen something with baby dedication, community. This is what God wants. He wants community. He wants us to stand together, come together, praise him together. We got the prayer, Our Father. It's not my Father. It's our Father. This community. It's us working together, working out our salvation together, helping one another. It also means that we will be honest with one another. We will help one another. So don't talk so much about yourself. Think about other people. That's just community. And that is what God wants us to be. And that's what we're growing into. And also, linking to that is your brother's keeper. Just watching out for your brother. That's why it's so great to have a baby dedication, where we also partner with Franz and Janine in raising Milo, because we're family, and we watch out for one another. And when they come here, we can also check, hey, is Milo okay? What are you guys doing there at home? We help one another. And it goes both ways. That's something that you grow into. That's something that you need to grow to a place where you can actually receive from someone as well. It's not always easy to receive. I know between Lee and the Holy Spirit, there's so many things that I receive that's not so comfortable. So, because Lee is my wife. So she knows me, she sees everything about me, and she just speaks the truth, black or white. Koom. I'm more like rustig. Okay. But it helps me so much. And I'm so thankful for that. For that black and white. So Yaku, what are you doing? Stop that. That's nonsense. Stop it. Don't do this again. And often I don't want to receive it and I don't receive it well. But I know it's true. And there's conversation there. So there's an ability to receive from one another. And that's something that we as a church must grow into, that we have an ability that we receive from one another. We trust one another to speak the truth, to bring that word, because we have blind spots. Don't know if you know, but you've got blind spots. You don't see your hair behind your head. We need one another to help us, that we can get this right, that we can live right, do things right. And just another thing, we must make room for the Holy Spirit. Room for the Holy Spirit to operate through our lives. If God is not here and the Holy Spirit is not here in this place, then this is just a club. Then this is just a nice gathering and we go home and we say, okay, we did something nice, it felt nice. But when we come here and we gather, we know God is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is busy, he's working, and we can expect God encounters. And we've been praying here for there's breakthroughs in work, healings. And that's one of the things that I was very frustrated in my life with many years ago. Before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was standing on the mountain. I said, Lord, what I read in your word, I don't see it in my life. I'm a bit frustrated, and things just happened. And now I can say that I can see God working. And I trust that you can also see God working in your life. But we must also make room for that. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Ask him. Say, I'm going to work. Or I see someone that say they don't look well. Something is wrong. Lord, what is going on there? Maybe give me a word. Help me to say something. Help me to give a right word. Help me to pray. Help me to reach out. That's making room for the Holy Spirit to work through us. Someone says that if we only see God's Spirit as an influence or a power, we will always say, Lord, I want more of your power. But if we see him as a wonderful person and as God, then we'll say, how can I give more of myself to you? And then that's the difference. How can I give more of myself to God? How can I allow God to work through me? And not, Lord, I want your power. I want this. I want this. I need you here. I need you there, God. And that's just the difference. God is God. Last Sunday, or no, two Sundays ago, I was preaching at Shofar Ronnebosch, and I like to preach off my iPad. And then the iPad just didn't work. And I just had a thought, I must take my laptop with to work. And I thought, to Ronnebosch. I didn't want to. I don't like to carry the laptop and everything. But I thought, okay, I'll put it in the bag. And then I struggled with the iPad. It didn't work, and it gave errors. And I just got, no, it's not happening. Because it's just now, I want to preach, my message is on there. And it's going on, and I'm getting frustrated, and it's time to leave. And he says, Yaku, you must go. It's 30 minutes. You must be there. And the children's running, Daddy, Daddy, and everything. And I just realized, oh, this is not good. And then suddenly I thought, but wait a minute. I had a thought, an idea, that I must pack my laptop. So maybe I had a warning of things to come, of things that's going to happen. And maybe I can still have joy in all this chaos because God prepared me for what's going to happen. So I said, okay, Lord, if this is how it's, then this is a lesson. So I closed my iPad and I just stopped trying to fix it, put it away. I said, okay, I'll take the laptop. And I was actually preaching on the Holy Spirit there. That's so funny. So I just realized right there, for me, it felt that God has prepared me. For something is not going to work out. Something is going to just take you. If I just decided right there, I'm going to take my laptop, and that's it. Then a lot of this other running around wouldn't have happened. Then I just would have took my laptop in my bag off to Ronnebosch. So then I was still trying to fix everything until I realized that, wait a minute, I had a warning. Something like this is coming. And just the last thing, I mentioned community, a brother's keeper, make room for the Holy Spirit. This is just for us as a church. And then it's just people. We can't just do what we do and enjoy what we do and then just keep it for ourselves. It's wrong. We must include people. God loves people, all people. And for me, it's also, I love running. I love running on the road, just 4, 5, 6 hours all by myself. Just go, go, go. There's no one else. And I realize that's a lot of hours. I can just invite people with. And we can talk and we can spend time. It's so easy. I can make people part of my hobbies. I can make, just without even doing something amazing. You just go and do something with other people. And you just share some of those testimonies, some of those breakthroughs, some of those things that God is doing for us. So I want to encourage us as we go forward as a church. We will have amazing times here. We will experience God's presence, but it's not only for us. And what we do, we invite people. People are welcome. People is on God's heart. I'm just thankful that I can be saved and standing here. Because else I would have been in big trouble. Big trouble. Because I see loopholes everywhere. It's just natural tendency. So if I didn't know the Lord, I would have taken a lot of loopholes. And it would have got me in big trouble. So I'm so thankful that we can be here. And I quickly want to just give you, Theo, can you just give everybody an envelope? I got a small letter for each one. That you can remember. You can open it. There's a little A5. It's a peppermint. You can eat at any time. And there's some notes, just who we really are. Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. You are a child of God. And God's Spirit is inside of us. Because sometimes we try to... Now, sometimes we just allow lies to come into our life. We allow the devil to lie to us, or we're just confused. But this is the Word of God speaking to us. Like I said in the beginning, this is just some notes. This is a letter for you. You know the letter that God will write you today. It's going to be a love letter. The biggest letter, the biggest love letter is already in the Bible. Of Jesus that died for us. And He gave us life. That is the biggest love letter. So you can go through this in your own time. There's also a blank. There's a blank paper there as well. So with the blank one, I want you to quickly just make little groups of 2 or 3. And you're just going to write something on that blank paper and you're going to hand it to someone else. A word of encouragement, something that you just thought of, maybe you just want to put a verse on there, you just want to put anything. Because that is just, we're making room for the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to us. Maybe you just had a thought, you say, you look nice today. Then you put that on the letter and you gave it to the other person. But that's just something that we can do. So you can make little groups.